Eder in L.A., you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Eder.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I've been, listening in today, and a lot of people have been, talking about chemistry. And, I wanted to mention that, recently, a couple of weeks ago, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams basically came out and just said that, the Clippers team hasn't played together. They haven't gelled together. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard haven't really shared that many minutes. And when you look at the Lakers and you can talk about load management all you want, but when you look at the Lakers and what they're doing, when you look at, LeBron and how he's playing with AD, and of course, AD hasn't been as spectacular as we had all hoped, putting up 30 plus points every game. But when you look at all of it as a complete package, the Lakers as a team, as a whole organization, I think they're gelling a lot better than what was expected. And, you have to give it up to LeBron because in a sense, it was his doing. Before the season even started, they went out to Vegas. They decided to do, pre-training, just to bond together because chemistry is everything. Everyone's been...
Yeah, and I'll say this, Eder. If the point is coming down to LBJ and his impact, LeBron's been everything. And you could just tell that, by the way. When LeBron is in games versus when LeBron goes out to just take a breather, how different this Lakers team is. But LeBron also, the leadership and everything else that comes with it, LBJ has been great. Still a lot to go the rest of the season. And still a lot to prove. I'm not out here trying to claim that the Lakers are the team to beat, because I do feel like the Lakers are going to have to play as good as basketball as any of these guys have in their career, minus LeBron James, because I think LBJ is going to do what he does. But everybody else is going to have to step up. It's not going to be easy. That route to an NBA Finals, and I've talked about the depth that the Clippers have, it's going to be tough. But the Clippers got question marks as well. All right, playoffs being restructured. I'm a big fan of this, by the way. Let me give everybody just the information first. So in the NFL, this is what's happening. This is per Adam Schefter. Under the current proposal expected to take effect in the new CBA when it's done, 7 teams from each conference will qualify for the playoffs instead of the 6 that currently do. In addition, only 1 team from each conference will receive a first-round bye as opposed to the side. 1 team will get a bye rather than 2. So, we've had 2 teams on both sides will get a bye. That's not going to be the case anymore. Now the sides are trying to work through the final issues, including getting the players to sign off. There's more going on here. There's also the potential of 17 games rather than 16 games, but I want to stay real quick on just the playoffs. So if you guys heard a little bit earlier, about an hour ago or so, Mason and Brian Kamenitsky, BK filling in for John Ireland on the Mason Ireland show, we're talking about postseason, and we're talking about just playoffs in general. I'm a huge proponent of more playoff basketball and more playoff teams, not even just for the playoffs. What I love is the lead up to the playoffs. And my hope is this. My hope is that more teams and more cities have a shot to get in. I'm not saying if a team is in the NFL, if they're 6-9 going into the last week, they got a shot to make the postseason. I'm not talking about that. But 9-7 teams, completely okay with it. There's been times 10-6 teams haven't got in. There's been times 11-5 teams haven't got in. It's happened. And I know that that's more of a rare case. That doesn't happen all the time. But what gets me excited about this type of a format, you have 1 team with a bye. Just 1. 1 team has a bye. You have 6 teams, 3 games from each conference that are going in to obviously kind of figure out who the final who that final stretch is going to be, the final 4 games or so. But this is what I think I care about most. I love seeing cities that maybe typically don't get in the postseason, or they're just right on the fringe there, week 15, week 16, week 17. These games mean something. I think it adds to the allure. I think it adds to the excitement. I use the Rams just as an example. And look, we all know how successful the Rams have been, these last couple of years. getting to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, prior to that making it to the playoffs, and then this past season, a disappointing season. They lose. They end up at 9-7. Didn't deserve to make the playoffs, but they were right in the mix there, I guess you could say. They'd have been in the postseason under this new format. Baseball's talking about expanding their teams as well. I like it. I like giving, for baseball, in August and September, there's going to be a true race to make the postseason before you even get to the postseason. In the NFL, there's going to be a true race in those final, you know, few weeks in December for teams that maybe don't always get in, or teams that had a little bit better than a average season, they still got a shot. I'm a fan of it. I mean, I think it's going to help ratings. I think it's going to boost ticket sales. I think it's going to boost interest. I think it's going to be one of those that makes sense economically, and I think everybody wins. Fans win as well. I don't think it's going to dilute the game. I know in the NBA you can look at that and you can make an argument. All right, but in basketball you got teams like Orlando and Brooklyn that are 5-7, 8 games below 500, and they're going to make it in the Eastern Conference. That part's not ideal. It's not. But in the Western Conference, Memphis is a couple games over 500. They're a young team with Ja Morant, and they got some players that are interesting to watch. They can very well play the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round. So I'm a fan of it. We'll give you guys some more information as it comes out. So right now, the current proposal, 7 teams from each conference will qualify for the playoffs instead of 6. And then also, sides are trying to work through the final issues, including getting the players to sign off on a 17-game regular season. That part has not been agreed to yet. If it is agreed to, it would not take effect until 2021 at the earliest. So there's the latest right there. All right, we got some good stuff going on here. We all know that the Los Angeles Lakers are taking on the Boston Celtics this Sunday. Lakers Nation, listen up here. Tune in all week for your chance to win the ultimate Sincoro experience, a pair of tickets to see the Lakers versus the Celtics this Sunday, and a pair of VIP passes for an exclusive Sincoro tequila post-game party. Here's how you can win. Call 877-710-ESPN, caller number 7, and caller number 8 will qualify for the grand prize. Thank you to Sincoro Tequila, the world's finest tequila and official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. Call right now. 877-710-ESPN, caller number 7, and caller number 8 will qualify to win. Brian Windhorst covers the ESPN for LA. He's coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN, in studio. Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm very happy.
I know you're all over the place here these last couple of days. You had a great article, and I'd love for you to kind of shed some light on it. The NBA All-Star Game showed the power of basketball. And I know we got such great basketball left in the season. Everybody expecting a fantastic playoff run on both sides, the Eastern and the Western Conference. But when you say the power of basketball, it showed just how powerful it is. Maybe you could tell listeners out there that haven't got a chance to read the article what exactly you're referring to there.
This is, Alan, this is a bit of a crusade that I'm on. I'm really noticing that as fans, we're losing sight of the enjoyment of just your average NBA game. Mm-hmm. If you come to an average NBA game, especially if you're there, there's just fantastic stuff going on. And really, you know who brought me to it was Damian Lillard. Because, you know, that team's had a really rough year. And they're not really going anywhere. And he is playing his backside off. Now he's hurt. But he went through that stretch in January and February where he was like averaging 40 points. And he was carrying his team. And he was openly saying, you know what, I know we're not going to win the championship. I'm going for the 8th seed. And I want to get to, and if the best I can do this year is make the playoffs, that's what I'm going to do. Mm. And in this era of, you know, and I don't begrudge anybody who needs to take time off for injury. But if you keep sending the message to your fans that the regular season doesn't matter, they're going to believe you. And there's been way too much of this going on recently. And it really brought me back to something that David Stern used to say, which is that whenever you run into a problem with the game, when he ran into many in his 30 years, the greatness of the game, the thing that is the NBA, you know, what is NBA basketball? The athletes, the stars, the greatness of the players will always carry you through. And I've just really been focusing on just how great individual games are. Of course, we're going to talk about what the Lakers need to do in the buyout market. Of course, we're going to talk about the struggles that the 76ers are going to have. But we can also pay attention to how it's great basketball. And that All-Star game, specifically that fourth quarter, was a real reminder of it. Those were, you know, that you know, there was probably 8 or 9 Hall of Famers out there at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely wanted it so badly. Do you want to talk about a big boy environment, a big boy game? You were going to go out there and do anything. I mean, and look who was thriving, like Kawhi, LeBron, mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Paul, Giannis. I mean, this was as great as you could ever see. I mean, I've never seen anything like that in recent times. And that was about the greatest players we have healthy. We've got some guys out. I realized we didn't have the best 10 guys playing all out to win. And it was a reminder of what was fun. I mean, I was at the game, but I was watching it on TV at that point. I was in the back watching it on TV. And there were people coming up to me to try to say hello and whatever, and I was just ignoring them. I was so focused on the game. I'm sorry I'm filibustering here at the start. But I'm passionate about this. And you know, you see ratings down and stuff, and I recognize that there's a challenge because there's injuries, there's a challenge because of cord cutting, there's a challenge because of attention span, there's a challenge because there's too many stars in the West and the majority of the countries in the East. I recognize all that, but I also think that we've forgotten, you know, how spectacular, you know, these guys are. And I may be a lone wolf in this, but I'm trying to bring some attention back to it.
No, I think there was a display, like you're talking about, in that fourth quarter. I felt like I was watching playoff basketball. I felt like I was watching my team. You know, like that's the thing, is you can watch an All-Star game, be cheering for individual players, or like most All-Star games, okay, they don't care, so I don't care. You know,
right.
You're not paying
Absolutely.
As much attention, or you're not as interested as you might be if it is your actual team that's playing. I was watching that fourth quarter without a running clock, right? As if everything was on the line. You know, as if if Kyle Lowry doesn't get that charge, the game's
right.
You know,
as a Laker fan, you were rooting for Chris Paul.
You know,
you're like, come on, Chris.
But it was even respecting the other side of it. Like,
for sure.
Right, I'm watching him, and I didn't want it to end.
Right.
Giannis, all of a sudden, they're reviewing Giannis's play. I'm like, did I just see a review? Do I see Chris Paul and LeBron James barking at the refs?
By the way, it was a great play by Giannis, the block.
Unbelievable play.
It was a
play.
Absolutely brilliant play. I loved it. It was amazing.
I was joking around, too. There was a part of that fourth quarter where you just, you know, watching the strategy of the game. And in my head, I'm like, wait a minute. So Luka's not playing. And I know Luka's still battling
they took
with
the
his
little,
injury.
They took the little guys out. The young guys
yep.
sit down.
They put Chris Paul in.
I thought maybe Jimmy Butler should have been out there.
That was the player. I was yeah. like, wait a minute. If you're Team Giannis, how is Jimmy Butler not in the game at this moment?
I don't know what happened there with you know, I really like Nick Nurse, but I don't know. I mean, he was calling timeouts and drawing up plays. I think Jimmy's got to be out there.
I thought the whole thing was, you know, I laugh at it now because it's funny to look back on it. And, you know, here's a exhibition game, right? That's what they call games like this. It didn't feel that way. And I respected the way the NBA approached it. I respected how the players approached it. And I loved the incentive was a couple things. One of the incentives was which charity is going to get more money. So they're playing for that part of it. Then the other incentive was you want to respect the number that's on your back that's representing Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant. I think that was there was, you know, some reminders there of, okay, this is more than just a game. It's the first time one player is going to win the Kobe Bryant MVP All-Star Award. You know,
Kawhi made it clear he wanted it.
You know, and actually, you know, that's actually something that's special too. You know, here's Kawhi Leonard, who's not a Los Angeles Laker, a player that can very well be the difference of the Lakers getting to the NBA Finals or not. I mean, that's just how good he is, and that's how good the Clippers are. But just listening to him to the post game, you know, in that post game, it meant something to him, and he doesn't have to be a Laker for it to mean
right.
something to him.
Yeah, you know, I also think you didn't see any players giving their jersey away.
Mm.
That jersey is getting kept. Like if I went to LeBron and said, hey, where's your 2013 All-Star jersey that said East and was blue?
Right.
I'm not sure he could put his hands on it. You know, maybe he could. If I said, hey, where's your number two jersey? Where's your number two jersey from the All-Star game? You know, I'll bet that's treasured. Those are keepsakes. And that was one of the things I noticed, that people weren't giving those away.
As we kind of start looking forward, so season starts back up. Is it tomorrow that there's some games?
Yep,
Lakers,
Thursday.
I know, will start on Friday. But as we start looking forward to the season, if we're just talking about local basketball right here in Los Angeles, I want to get your thoughts on, you know, the conversation is going to be about the Lakers and the Clippers. Clippers go out at the trade deadline. They pick up Marcus Morris. Yesterday, we know that they signed Reggie Jackson in the buyout market. The Lakers still have not done anything. And, you know, whether that's the Lakers choosing, okay, you know what, we're okay with our team, or they've missed out or didn't see opportunities that they liked the trade deadline, whatever the case is. Looking at both of these teams right now for the final stretch of the season, one of the things that the Lakers have done is they've built this fantastic cushion in the West. They have a five game advantage over the Nuggets in the loss column, 6-game advantage over the Clippers in the loss column. Put everything away, whatever's on paper. Between those two teams right now, who do you think is positioned better as we go through the final stretch of the season and walking into the playoffs?
Well, the Clippers have a better team. But I've been saying for months now that when they're healthy, how can I possibly assume that they're going to be healthy? Mm-hmm. I cannot, especially if that's round three. To me, I think if you're looking at the standings, will the standings fall in such a way that the Lakers and Clippers would not play potentially in the finals, that they would have to play in the semis? I don't think that'll happen. I think the Clippers will rise. We'll stay up there in that top three, but it's tightly packed. I mean, they could fall to four, especially...
Them and Utah are kind of back and forth right now. Denver's just a game or a game and a half in front of them.
And, I mean, Kawhi could skip, you know, what they have, 27, 28 games left. Kawhi could take 6 of those off or something. And you know, Paul George is injured hamstring again. And Beverly's, not that he would necessarily be the difference between winning and losing, but, you know, he's had the same groin injury 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. So... the thing about it is, I mean, how can I possibly make an assumption that the Clippers are going to be healthy? I cannot do that. If they're healthy, I think they're the better team. But and I think that there will be some sort of advantage to them to playing in LA. I think it would just be easier for them than having to go play in Utah, in Denver. They realize every game with the Lakers is going to feel like a Lakers home game, because their Lakers fans are going to dominate the building. But I think there's some advantage to them to you know, if they don't have the higher seed, that they get to potentially play at home and not have to travel. So I think it's theirs if they're healthy. But, you know, playoff LeBron is something special. I have seen him, let's put it this way, he's taken lesser teams than this to the finals.
Higher heights, yep.
And he's pulled off much bigger, quote-unquote, upsets. I mean, the Lakers would be favored, I mean, you know, by seed. He's pulled off bigger, quote-unquote, upsets than it would be to beat the Clippers. So you have LeBron. You've got a real chance. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. I want to do this. We come back. I want to get your thoughts on what type of LeBron we'd have to see, what type of Anthony Davis we'd have to see, what type of Kyle Kuzma, kind of the rest. We go kind of down that list of these Los Angeles Lakers players. If the Lakers are to represent the West, get to the NBA Finals, and potentially win an NBA championship, I want you to paint a picture of what some of these players are going to have to do, of course, as a team, but individually. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. We got Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN, right here in studio. Nice enough to stay for 2 segments here. So, Brian, we were talking about it right before the break, and I was mentioning, you know, you say playoff LeBron, right? I want to put LeBron to the side for a second, because I feel like I know what I'm going to get from LeBron James in the playoffs. just because we've seen it so often. And just this year, as an example, he's been amazing. And
he doesn't have bad games. It's amazing. There was a time in his career where you weren't 100% sure he was going to show up for a playoff game. Those games are long. Those days are long gone. He doesn't have a bad playoff game. He only has good playoff games and great playoff games.
And I could nitpick, right? I could say, well, what if he does this or that? But I've seen enough Lakers basketball in these 2 years that he's been here to know that, let's just use this year as an example. When LeBron's on the court, got a good chance to win. If LeBron's going to try and get a breather,
that's exactly right.
Not good, right? So the reason why I want to put LeBron to the side for a quick second, Anthony Davis is going to be in this spotlight like he's never been in before. All right. It's one thing to be competing in New Orleans and you make it to the second round. This is a whole different ball game. I personally believe that Anthony Davis will have to play the best basketball of his life. Will have to be such an integral piece yep. to winning an NBA championship this year for the Lakers. Just want to get your thoughts on what does Anthony Davis have to be come postseason and that postseason run for the Lakers to? We know what LeBron's going to do, but what is he going to have to be to take the Lakers to that next step?
I love
as well?
That LeBron set him up for the last points. He had a matchup advantage, mm-hmm. and he waited. He waited until the right moment, and he set him up for it in that for the end of the All-Star game.
By the way, Brian, how great is that? We are talking about like execution plays in the All-Star game,
and it matters. I thought it was really important.
I know.
The trick with LeBron is you have to relieve him. Okay, you have to give him relief moments, mm-hmm. relief minutes. He's going to do the lion's share of the lifting. The ball's going to be in his hands. He's going to make the plays. He's going to set guys up. That's where he's gone to all those finals. You've got to be able to take the load off of him. And that's where Anthony Davis comes in. There's got to be times where they can run a two-man game with Anthony Davis, where Anthony Davis does the work. There's got to be a time where they give Anthony Davis the ball, clear out, and let him go to work. Where LeBron can... One of the things that LeBron has really worked hard on is how to rest when playing. Mm. What I mean by that is, okay, he is tired. So he will call a play in a possession where he can throw it and he can stand on the other side of the court and rest.
Catch his breath.
For 18 or 20 seconds while they run a two-man game on the other side. That's the kind of action that you need. You need Danny Green and Anthony Davis to be able to run a two-man game. You need, you know, KCP and Anthony Davis to run a two-man game. You need
Rondo, Kuzma.
Yeah,
right.
You need Anthony Davis to get to the foul line to let LeBron have 90 seconds to 2 minutes of rest. Mm. That's vital in playoff games with him. And so Anthony Davis has got to be at the level where he can do that, where not only can he be set up by a great pass from LeBron and finish or take advantage of the defense slanting, that he can relieve LeBron. That's where Kyrie Irving was worth his weight in gold, because he could give the ball to Kyrie, whether he was on the court or off, and he could just take a play off. Kyrie and Kevin Love could run a two-man game, a two-man action, and relieve him. And that's how he could get away with playing 43, 44 minutes. I'm not talking about in game one of the first round. I mean, essentially what you're going to see in a playoff series, historically, I mean, not every playoff series are like this. You will see certain games be lopsided. Once, you know, the home team's going to win, you know, quite a few times. You know, you're going to play a game where their team's going to be hot from three, and you just take your hat off to them. But if you're in a real series between two competitive teams, you're going to see two, three games come down the last 5 minutes. Mm. That last 5 minutes is the difference between can the Lakers do it or not. They have the ultimate player who's done it. He's done it over and over and over. But the question is, what five guys are on the court with what other four guys with LeBron and AD, three guys really? Mm. Who do you trust? Who do you believe can do it? And can you make sure that you're in those 5 minutes because the 4 or 5 or 6 minutes that LeBron rested earlier, you didn't get outscored 9-2?
Sure.
Can you get to those 5 minutes? To me, that's what the Lakers have to hone in on. He will do the heavy lifting. I promise you he will. We've seen it this season. We've seen it in his career. But you got to be able to help him manage that load.
I feel like this is that moment. Brian Windhorst hopping on the Sliwa show. I feel like this is that moment for Anthony Davis. You know, I really, truly do. He's 26 years old. This is his moment. And I talked about this a little bit before the season started. I don't know if I expected LeBron to have the type of regular season that he's having. Okay. I didn't even expect the Lakers. You know, we talked about how sitting at 41-12 have this cushion in the Western Conference. I just didn't think in my mind, okay, a number one seed was essential, right? But this is where they are, and that's all because of LeBron James. Not all, but you know what I'm referring to. LeBron's been obviously everything. And here you are sitting in the one seed. I thought walking into this year, AD is going to have to be this Anthony Davis that we all expect him to be as his kind of game evolves, and now he's going to play with one of the greatest to ever do it. That's why I kind of put an emphasis on Anthony Davis, because it can't be these 15-foot fadeaways. It can't be this. No, AD's got to make his presence felt. And if you're going to beat the Clippers in a 7-game set, you know, I think we're going to have to see this AD that we've never seen before. And O'Brien, I'll go a step further than that. You know, there's been a lot of conversations about the Lakers' role players. What do you expect? If the Lakers are to win a chip this year, what will be their role this season?
Well, I think there's only been one playoff series in LeBron's career where he has not led the team in scoring. There was one playoff series in Cleveland where Kyrie, I think it was one of the Eastern Conference Finals,
okay,
where Kyrie led the team in scoring. As we know, LeBron doesn't lead the Lakers in scoring. Mm-hmm. AD leads the Lakers in scoring. So if that could carry over to the postseason, that would be great.
It's true. Right? Absolutely.
So I think my biggest concern again is when it's a situation where you're at the end of the game, who are the other three players? So you're probably going to have LeBron and AD as the two quote unquote bigs in those
sure.
situations,
mm-hmm.
because you got to get your best players on the court. Obviously, Danny Green is going to be out there. Who are the other two spots? Is it Avery Bradley? Is it KCP? Hell, I'm not ruling out Alex Caruso, because there are
sure.
times when it can be. Is it Kyle Kuzma?
It could be too. It could, if you know how you're saying the AD and the LeBron is the bigs, there's times Dwight is in there, there's times Dwight isn't.
That's right.
But you're right that there's a legitimate question mark. It's not like this, we know it's this five. No,
and
that kind of floats a little.
And that's not exactly the best position to be in.
Sure. There's a reason why, right?
Yeah. And by the way, most teams don't have that five either.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a big thing to me. And so, and it may take a while to establish who those are. It may not even be there in the first round. The first round may be figuring out those five. Maybe the first round. I mean, LeBron went 7 years without losing a first round game or something like that. If they play the Grizzlies in the first round, it may be a gentleman's sweep and you never find out, you know. But mm-hmm. you gotta know who those five are. And that's gotta be one of the things Frank Vogel's looking at. And, you know, that Nuggets game the other night, which I thought was a terrific game. Number one, I love that LeBron took the wheel at the end of the game to win it. Because even though he wants AD to do it, occasionally he's gotta do it. That's mm-hmm. gonna be who does it. But Vogel just didn't feel comfortable putting Kuzma out there. And You know, there are matchup issues there, because they obviously, Denver has the great big man. But if Kuzma's going to be a foundational piece going forward, he's got to be one of the five. He's got to be. And, you know, if not him, who? And that's like out of all the things that Frank Vogel's got to establish, that's a way high up there over this last 2 months.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, one of the things I've done the last couple of shows, I've talked about this. It doesn't have to be, you know, I don't think anybody's sitting here and saying, well, Kuzma has, it's got to be 17 points. It'd be nice for Kuzma to score. That's kind of the way we profile Kuzma right now as a scorer in the NBA. But here's the reality, Brian. If you're on the court, you have to do something that's beneficial.
That's right.
So whether it's grabbing rebounds, taking charges, deflecting balls, you have to find a way. You just mentioned Caruso. That game against Denver, Caruso, KCP, and Dwight Howard were in the game because it didn't matter if they were touching the ball. It had no reason to do whether they were touching the ball. They just found ways to be productive at the end of games. That's the one thing with Kuz. I know he's just in his third year. Maybe our expectations are not fair. But one thing I think is fair is if you're on the court, you got to be doing something.
I love Caruso. I don't know whether Frank Vogel can trust him. He's so young.
Mm-hmm.
But Caruso reminds me of guys LeBron's won championships with.
Mm.
He reminds me of Matthew Dellavedova.
Sure.
But he's better than Dellavedova, quite frankly. He reminds me of Daniel Gibson.
Mm.
And he's better than Daniel Gibson. He's got better size. He's got better defense. And he won't make a peep He'll just do his job.
You're right.
You know, that's one of the things, like, one of the things you, I mean, and I know Laker fans know this, but maybe they've forgotten it because it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs. You don't hide in the playoffs because they will find your weak link. You may think, like, oh, this is our rotation, our 10-man, our 9-man rotation. No, no. Yes, in game one, that may be the case. Game five, 2-2, fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
You're... There's a bunch of guys who have faded to black. You don't even know they're on the team anymore. And, you know, can Caruso step up and be that guy who you can say, okay, I mean, I call them game five players because everybody talks about game seven. Well, game sevens, sometimes you don't get there because when a series is 2-2 or a series is 2-1 and you have a chance to go up 3-1.
Game five, right?
Game five players. It's 2-2. The coach... The coach only trusts eight guys. So coach only trusts seven guys. Are you one of that seven? Mm. And so part of it is this team's never been through it before. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, for example, when the Cavs were going through the playoff run where they won the title, Richard Jefferson was a game five player. They knew that when it really came down to it, they could put him out there because Richard Jefferson had proved it. He wasn't the player that he once was, but they knew. And sure enough, when it came down to those moments, he played big. I just don't see that.
Shane Battier, Mike Miller.
Shane Battier, Mike Miller, exactly. Those players may be on this team, but we don't 100% know. Now, Danny Green is, but I'm more worried about the 4, 5, 6, 7 guy than I am about him. So, again, KCP has never done it. KCP has no playoff resume. Maybe he will do it. Maybe he'll be great. I just don't know.
We just don't have anything to look back
on. That's what gets me a little unsettled. That's why I've said for a long time they're a player short. Mm-hmm. And they maybe overcome it. LeBron is so good, he can overcome it.
Brian, appreciate it, man.
Thanks,
that's great insight. And it's always interesting to get your thoughts on some of this. We're coming into such a great stretch of the season. And the way you talked about it, the power of basketball, just kind of setting up that article that you had. So thanks for taking some
time
and hopping
me
on the show.
I appreciate it.
All right, can we get away from basketball for a second? Just 1 second, LA. Can we talk about some other sports? First of all, Brian Windhorst, always a fantastic guest. I love getting his insight. I know it comes more from a national perspective, but obviously his knowledge of the game and talking about Lakers or talking about Clippers, talking about stuff on a local basis, personally I'm a big fan of. When we come back, Anthony Rendon didn't end up with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Could that have been the best thing that happened to the Dodgers? I don't think the Dodgers went after him. I want to talk about Rendon coming up next, and Mark Teixeira had some thoughts on the Astros and how he feels the Astros should be handling this entire situation. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so we all know that Dodgers have an incredible, incredible shot at winning a World Series this year. And as much as we kind of try to sort of turn the page on this cheating scandal with the Houston Astros, and it's going to take a while because I think, you know, naturally it's a big conversation. Every single day somebody new was hopping on. Earlier today, Giancarlo Stanton hopped on and talked about it. If he knew the pitches that were coming, he'd have 80 home runs. That was his prediction. He just went with a very modest 80. Which, by the way, I don't question that. That's how, you know, obviously that's how good Stan has been in the past. But the conversation will continue to be there. And as we kind of go further and further away from the cheating scandal, I think the main thing to look at with this Dodgers team is they're stacked. And I feel this. Part of the reason why it's not always the moves that you make, it's also the moves that you don't make. And Anthony Rendon signed a 7-year, $245 million deal with the Angels. And I think at the time there was some criticism that the Dodgers, they didn't make a play at Anthony Rendon, or Rendon didn't want to come play for the Dodgers. That was kind of the perception. I want to play this real quick. This is from the Big Swing podcast, which features Ross Stripling and Cooper Serlis. I want to play this. This is Rendon talking about the Dodger situation in free agency.
Going.
I was just like, oh, now it's going to be like another city that hates me or something. And I'm going to, now every time we play the Dodgers, they're just going to boo the heck out of me, or they're going to drive down to Anaheim and kill us, basically. But it was definitely weird. I wasn't surprised by it because I remember when they asked me that question, and like I'm sitting there at the press conference. I'm like, all right, well, like I'm not going to lie to these people because I'm probably the most blunt person you'll ever meet. And almost too blunt at times, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, be a jerk about it, and I got to like kind of not make this happen, might not make it blow out of proportion. So I just said L.A. I said Los Angeles, Los Angeles. I'm like, in theory, it's the Los Angeles Angels, and it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so, like, they're probably going to put any twist on it as possible. And so that's just how it came out. But, I mean, to my defense, like, I couldn't sign with a team that didn't send over an offer. So,
hey, shots fired. Shots fired. Freeman.
So I'm sorry. I have to defend myself. So yeah. L.A. fans or Dodger fans, don't hate me because they never sent over an offer.
Wow. Fair enough.
So this is one of those, I think, rare situations where this worked out perfect. And it worked out perfect for the Dodgers. And I think for both franchises, the Angels had to go out and get Rendon, who was obviously big, big part of the Nationals and winning their World Series. But they had to go out and get Rendon and sign him to a 7-year, $245 million deal. If I ask Dodger fans right now, after where kind of what's transpired since then, that Mookie Betts deal that brought David Price and Mookie Betts to the Los Angeles Dodgers, everybody thinking the Dodgers are best set up, you know, in this position right now to win a World Series. Yeah, you're probably happy you didn't fork over almost a quarter of $1 billion for one player. And you're also happy because you have that financial flexibility and you have that money to go offer it to somebody like Mookie Betts after this season. Let's see how this year plays out. Obviously, he's going to be a free agent and the Dodgers are going to try and position themselves where Mookie Betts wants to be with the Dodgers and nobody else by the time the season's over. But just looking at 2020, you got a legitimate chance to win a World Series. And I think you have a much better chance having Mookie Betts in your lineup, a player that does everything. He's going to be solid on defense and right field. Obviously, he can get steals. He can hit for average. Whatever you need him to do, Mookie Betts is going to get it done. And you got David Price in your as part of your starting five. Like, he'll probably be mid-rotation. Let's say it's Buehler, Kershaw, Buehler, however you want to put it, and then David Price. I'm not saying Price is going to come in and save the world, but you got a vet that's been there before, that's been in the league, that if you're in a big playoff series and it's game three or game four or game five, David Price isn't worried about the moment or nervous or, you know, too much pressure on him. That's not going to be the case. So I feel like this worked out for both teams. Number one, Rendon, you don't got to apologize to anybody. You're a free agent. You could sign wherever you want. And for you to go grab 7 years and $245 million, hats off to you. You're set for life and obviously for generations after that. But for the Dodgers, those players you didn't get that you might have been going for in free agency or Rendon signing with the Angels, and it sounds like the Dodgers didn't make him an offer like Rendon mentioned right there, and it was the smart thing to do. And to end up with the lineup that the Dodgers have, it should be a special season for the Dodgers. It really should. This has to be the greatest likely. This has to be the best chance to win a World Series. Obviously, it was in 1988, but this run that the Dodgers have had, winning seven NLS titles in a row, this has to be their greatest opportunity to win it all. It's probably coming this year, and the expectations are going to be there. But at least, you know, the lineup is there. You can justify the Dodgers being a favorite this year, and hopefully they get over the hump. All right, back to the Houston Astros, who potentially took a World Series away from the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2017. Mark Teixeira, who played, I think, 14 years, maybe even more than that, maybe 15 years in the big leagues, was on GetUp, and he was talking about major league players policing themselves. I think this is a very interesting way to put it for what's gone on with the Houston Astros.
I think what you're seeing, Greeny, is major league baseball players policing themselves. And baseball is, they've done that for years. And I think what you see from Judge and Markakis, Trout, these guys, if the Astros players aren't going to get punished by Major League Baseball, then we're going to punish you. And that means humiliation. There will be guys getting thrown at during the season, and I'm not one for violence, but I think the humiliation is actually more than just, hey, I'm gonna tell you that you did something wrong, or I'm gonna tell you you cheated. I want LeBron James chiming in. I want Congress chiming in. I want the entire baseball world to know what you did, and you should be humiliated by that.
Well, this is where, you know, your commissioner lost the league. Commissioner Rob Manfred, this is where you know you lost the league, is when the players have to do the dirty work for you. Okay, if you're not going to take away their 2017 titles, if you're not going to make them take that banner down and say nobody won in 2017, obviously the Astros cheated. We cannot reward them for something that they stole. If you're not going to do it, we're going to find a way to serve justice. That's what's happening right now. When Teixeira says that, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'm not a fan of, I don't want to see brawls this upcoming season. I don't want to see players taking 95-mile-per-hour fastballs right at their back or close to their head or in the shoulder or on the left. I don't want to see any of that. I really don't. That's not my style. That's not something that I enjoy watching. If it happens, I'll watch it. But I'm not saying I'm not there to condone it or I'm not there to promote it. But this is why so many people have such a bad taste in their mouth because of the commissioner. Mark Teixeira did say this as well. Teixeira said, as far as giving advice to the Astro players, probably all these Astro players should stop and really take a listen to what Teixeira's advice is.
The first thing that you can do if you're an Astros player is truly apologize. Show some real humility. Not this, you know, fake apology and then just sweep everything under the rug. I want to see Jose Altuve apologize to Aaron Judge for stealing the 2017 MVP. I want them to look at the New York Yankees and look at the LA Dodgers and say, I'm sorry, I cheated you out of a World Series. That is my bad. It won't happen again. I'm going to earn your trust back. But we have not seen that from the Astros players. And until we see that humility, this is not going to go away.
No one could say it better than Teixeira just said it right there. This is a vet that played in the league. He understands baseball. He understands the politics that come with baseball. He understands the rules in that clubhouse. Listen to Mark Teixeira. Basically, what he's asking the Astros to do is just do the right thing and be honest. Look inside of those cameras. Talk to all these players and say, we jacked this one up. Our bad. We got a lot to prove. And we're going to start by giving back everything that we stole. We'll see if they do it. I don't got confidence that they're going to do it, and I don't have confidence in the commissioner as well. But Mark Teixeira with some great takes there. All right, Lakers Nation. We did this a little bit earlier. We're going to do it one more time. Tune in all week for your chance to win the ultimate Sincoro experience. A pair of tickets to see the Lakers versus the Celtics this Sunday, and a pair of VIP passes for an exclusive Sincoro Tequila postgame party. Here's how you can win. Call 877-710-ESPN. Be caller number 7 or be caller number 8. You'll qualify for the grand prize. Thank you to Sincoro Tequila, the world's finest tequila, and an official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. LA, 877-710-ESPN for this pair of tickets, a chance for this pair of tickets versus the Celtics, and then exclusive VIP Sincoro Tequila postgame party, 877-710-ESPN. When we come back, we're going all local. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. All right, appreciate everybody that called in trying to be a part of this Sincoro tasting post-party, the Lakers versus the Celtics on Sunday. So appreciate you guys calling in for that. If you're still calling in for that, it's over, guys. It's over. You win and you lose, all right?
You win some, you lose some, but you play to win the game.
For most of you guys, you lost tonight. All right? Come better. Be better. No, we appreciate you guys doing that. We're going to do this again tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we'll have two more chances tomorrow to qualify to win.
All right, so two more chances tomorrow. So if you're calling into the radio station for the giveaway, it's over. But, stop calling in.
But
stop
listen calling. When to call in. I don't want to, you know, 10 minutes from now pick up a phone call and they're like, hey, did you win? No, you didn't win. It's over. Try again tomorrow.
Just take control of the calls, okay? All right?
Hey, all right. Let's I mean, you said that.
Let's go local. So as you guys know, at 8:30, we just do a little bit of everything on a local basis. Jesse's going to give us some updates around everything from a sports perspective on a local basis. Jesse, get us started. Go ahead,
bud. Yes, sir. So, and All-Star Week break is still going. A bunch of NBA players are out having vacation, living their lives before the second half of the season resumes. Tomorrow night, the Lakers will face the Grizzlies on Friday, and the Clippers will face the Kings on Saturday. In baseball, everyone's getting ready for the season. All the players have reported to spring training, with the Dodgers and Angels also getting ready, set to start their spring training schedule this Saturday. And in the NHL, the Ducks are currently facing the Florida Panthers. And, oh, Last I checked, it was 1-1, and
what are we at
lots,
now?
A lot's happened in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
The Florida Panthers lead the Ducks 3-1 with 4 minutes left in the second period.
Come on, Ducks, pick it up a notch. What is this, amateurs?
Apparently.
All right, keep going, keep going.
But tomorrow night, the same Florida Panthers will be in Staples to face the Kings. And again, we talked about it yesterday. The Kings are in full rebuild mode as they traded away Tyler Toffoli. It came across again today that the Kings trade away defenseman Alec Martinez to the Vegas Golden Knights.
All right, so the Kings are basically just in a full rebuild.
Complete rebuild.
Okay, that's what you should do. If you don't have a chance to win and you don't see, you know, a bright future, just start from scratch. It sounds like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it's the third major trade that's happened so far with the, you know, the NHL trade deadline is just a couple of days away on the 24th, and all the players they've traded so far are players that are on expiring contracts. So it looks like they're just trying to get rid of those expiring contracts and get whatever they can get. In this trade, they traded away Alec Martinez, and they traded away for a second-round pick next year and a second-round pick in 2021.
Okay.
And I didn't even know this. The Kings have 20 draft picks in the next two drafts.
That's fantastic. That's
the perfect way to rebuild.
By the way, that's key. That's important. We all know how this works in sports. We watched the Lakers for a couple years. They were just trying to stockpile on picks. They were drafting top five guys. And then eventually, they traded a lot of that young talent to go free up cap space for the LeBrons of the world, go get Anthony Davis. So the Kings taking that approach, that's obviously the right approach to take.
Yeah, it's sad times right now for the Kings, but the future is definitely looking bright for them. So I think, you know, just a couple years, they make the right picks, right decisions, they'll be back on it, and we'll be talking about Stanley Cup returning to L.A.
Okay, what else we got going on?
So no college basketball games as UCLA and USC get ready for the games tomorrow. In MLS, LAFC lost in their CONCACAF Championship League in the first leg 2-0. But they'll have a chance at redemption next week as the same Club Leon from Liga MX will come at the bank and face LAFC.
Okay, so just give everybody an idea. Lakers-Clippers will get you scores. When anytime we do this local stuff, NBA games are back on tomorrow. We'll do the same for USC, UCLA, the Galaxy, LAFC, so all that. So anything on a local basis, we'll try and hit it always around 8:30. You had something, Jesse, I thought that was interesting, looking at potential matchups to open up the 2020 football season. Why don't you give us a little bit more background on that?
Yeah, so J.B. Long, voice of the Los Angeles Rams, article today. And he was kind of predicting when SoFi Stadium will open and when the Rams are going to open that stadium. He kind of predicted, and he's going based off just previous research, that they're going to open in week two. You know, back in 2017, when Atlanta opened the Mercedes-Benz Dome, they opened in week two against Green Bay. In 2016, when Minneapolis opened the U.S. Bank Stadium, they opened in week two. When the 49ers opened Levi's Stadium, week two.
Okay, so there's a good chance it's going to be...
There's a good chance it's going to be week two, but one thing, you know, we can't really forget is the fact that they're sharing a stadium with the Chargers.
That's right.
So
all
you got 14, the Chargers,
all 14
the Rams,
Charger fans in LA.
And the Raiders are set to open up in Vegas this year. So there is a lot... There's two new stadiums, three teams. So I thought, why not have some fun? And for us to predict when... Who? The Rams, Chargers, and Raiders are going to have their home opener.
This is what I'm going to do my prediction on. It's not going to be like actually predicting. It's going to be who I feel like would be the best matchup to open up their stadium. You know what I mean? Like who I feel like would the environment would complement the new stadium being opened up.
Uh-huh.
All right. So why don't you go first? Go first on the Chargers. Who do you think for the Chargers?
So the Chargers, you know, they have the typical AFC teams, Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders. They also have the Falcons, Jets, Jags, Panthers, and the team that I think they should open the season with, the New England Patriots.
Okay, so you're going to say the Patriots. This is why you're wrong, Jesse. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
What's that stadium going to look like if they open up against the Patriots?
Whoo, it's going to be Tom Brady galore on either side.
Okay, what's it going to look like if they open up against the Raiders?
Oh, Raiders galore, no matter what.
How about the Broncos?
Broncos galore.
How about KC?
KC, yeah, they just won the Super Bowl. They're going to travel, and they travel well.
KC travels. My point is this. If you're the Los Angeles Chargers and you have 17 fans in L.A., all right, open up your stadium against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because that's probably the only team you might have a chance at sort of making it look like a home game. Because I'm telling you, if they go up against the Broncos in the first game,
oh, it's not going to be no AFC
team. Raiders, the Patriots. I mean, if they go up against any of these teams, it is going to be the opposing team like you've never seen before. Go up against the Jaguars. Actually, better yet, just go play the game in Jacksonville. Don't even bother.
Minshew Mania.
Oh, yeah. God love Minshew Mania.
Man, if there's one thing that, you know, it's been intriguing to me is seeing the Chargers in L.A., you know, some things just don't feel like they fit, right? And I think the Chargers is a perfect example. And by the way, I could go up to L.A. fans and say, hey, L.A., do you want the Chargers here? There's a lot of times like we have no idea why they're here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not something discussion that made sense. So that's my prediction. That's what I think they should do, but they won't. They're gonna open up against one of these AFC teams, probably a team from the AFC West, and they're going to sell out 60,000 seats to the opposing team.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong in that point.
All right, let's do Raiders second.
All right. The Raiders, so they have the same Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, Dolphins, Saints, Bucks, and Colts. Now, out of those teams, there's not real, like, big, sexy team that, you know, just stands out.
There's a couple. There's a couple.
The only team for me is the Saints, and I think you bring the Saints to Vegas, you bring Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara to that team, ooh, or to that stadium, to that town.
So that'd be fun. But you got a rival in just the division, you know? So I think the Kansas City Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes opening up that stadium against the Oakland Raiders. And by the way, Raider fans are everywhere. Oh, they're right here in L.A. They're in Vegas. They're this, they're that. They're going out for that game. And to do it against the Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that would be a great matchup. You know, I think that would be a special matchup. By the way, you could even do it against the Denver Broncos. The Broncos is another division rival. But just because the Chiefs are so good, and you know Oakland's going to come representing. And by the way, KC travels too. That's a unique game. You know, they're getting their – this is their first year that they got their Super Bowl. That would be a fun game. Who do you think against the
L.A. Rams?
Against the L.A. Rams.
The L.A. Rams – there, I didn't even have to look at their opponents because there's only one team.
We're going
to
disagree. I already know we're going to disagree.
All right, there's only one team that should face the Rams in this opener, and that is the San Francisco 49ers.
We disagree.
I already knew it. But this should be the 49ers one. They're coming off. They're the NFC champs.
I know.
How great would it be to see just that? I think those two teams match up well. Not to mention I'm a 49er fan, so I'm a little biased. But that's the matchup that I want to see. I want to see Rams 49ers open up SoFi, and I think that's going to be a crazy game.
The Seahawks, the Niners, and the, you know, Los Angeles Rams. What three incredible teams all in the same division. You know, so you really can't go wrong.
No, it's the toughest division in the NFL.
Any combination you want there, you can't go wrong. We talked a little bit about this. We talked about Adam Schefter put out a tweet a little bit earlier. There's a whole story now that the NFL is going to be expanding to 7 teams. That's the proposed deal, and they might even go 17 games now. I love the idea of that. And the reason why I lead off with that is because under this new format, the Rams would have made the postseason. Can you imagine this upcoming year if it's the 49ers and the Rams at SoFi Stadium in a playoff game in January? Can you imagine this year if it's Pete Carroll and the Seahawks with Russell Wilson coming in and there's a playoff game at SoFi Stadium? I want to see these Seahawks just because I like that matchup. Pete Carroll has the history in L.A. I think there's some other storylines. I love the Russell Wilson part of it, but you can't go wrong. Right? Oh, you can't go wrong.
You can't. Especially with the Rams, it's going to be their home. It's Kroenke Stadium. It doesn't matter who they're going to open up with. It's going to be amazing.
Let me tell you something. The Chargers, you can go wrong. This Rams conversation we're having, you can't go wrong. But 100%. It does make for a lot of interesting storylines. So that's big news from the NFL today, by the way. That's big news of them potentially expanding and everything else. I'm excited about that. And hopefully that ends up happening. All right, so that is our all local segment. We're trying to train you guys. 8:30, we go all local. We just hyper local. We'll give you scores all across Southern California with all the teams and all the sports. All right, we come back. You know, we started the show talking a little bit about the Los Angeles Lakers, or maybe I should say a lot about the Los Angeles Lakers because we spent a solid hour plus on it. I want to go back to something, and look, the Lakers are in a position right now where it's going to be a dogfight to win an NBA championship. We know that. We know how good the Clippers are. We know what these other teams are. But I want the Lakers just to worry about the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll tell you what I mean about that coming up next. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN, the Sliwa Show. All right, we said it a couple times. Wilder versus Fury. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history. Undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury, a rematch that the world has been waiting for, live on pay-per-view this Saturday, February 22nd, 9 Eastern. Go order the fight. Sounds like it's going to be a great one. All right, so this I think is, you know, the best theme that I could talk about when I start going over the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't think they're perfect, right? I don't think that, you know, this team right now, you're looking at them and saying, oh, man, everybody's coming through the Lakers. No, that's not the case. Do the Lakers still have a lot to prove over these last 29 games? Yeah, I think it would be nice to go up against the Boston Celtics this Sunday and make sure you handle business. When the Philadelphia 76ers come back to town, we know we lost at Philly without Joel Embiid. Okay, go take care of the Philadelphia 76ers. I keep going down that list. The Milwaukee Bucks, you started off that game. It was the end of a five-game road trip where you started off the game poorly and you never got a chance to recover. You made it a game in the fourth quarter, but it really wasn't a game. The Bucks took care of business. And then the last game, the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, Clippers right now, we have them on the schedule once. Now, we'll see when that second game is going to be replayed, when it's going to be rescheduled. But I'll say this. Lakers are going to have chances to go up against the teams that they've lost against. Lakers don't have a perfect roster. They obviously didn't make a move at the trade deadline. And in the buyout market, we're still kind of waiting to figure out if the Lakers end up with somebody. But I'll tell you what the Lakers do have. They got some continuity. They got some chemistry. When they play well, we see just how good they are. And then they got some holes, some flaws, some inconsistency in that bench. And when they play poorly, we see that, okay, they can get blown out in some of these games like they did against the Boston Celtics. I'll use that as an example in Boston. My biggest fear is not any of the other teams. My fear is the Los Angeles Lakers, and my confidence is the Los Angeles Lakers. As in, I could take it both ways. If Kyle Kuzma is a player the Lakers can start depending on a consistent basis, okay, I feel a little bit better. If Rondo over this final stretch and as we get into the playoffs becomes, all right, playoff Rondo, he's pacing himself, okay, I feel a little bit better. And you kind of go up and down that list of players that are sitting on the bench. Danny Green's got to be more consistent. You know, all this, Lakers start beating up on some of these teams they lost against in the first half of the season. You'll have a little bit more confidence about this Lakers team. But you also can't be walking around like I know a lot of people are doing right now and saying, okay, the Clippers are the team to beat. The Clippers got a lot to prove as well. As much as we talk about what the Lakers have to prove, I believe the Clippers got a lot to try and figure out. They got a roster. They have role players. They have a couple stars, which you heard Brian Windhorst saying, I don't know how healthy this team is going to be. They haven't been healthy. We keep saying when we talk about the Clippers, well, when they get healthy or when this team starts playing together, well, when is that going to be? And I think that's a fair point that Windhorst brings up, that you can't just, you know, sweep under the rug and say, okay, that's not a big deal. The Lakers got a lot to prove, but I think the Clippers do too. And as we get closer to Friday, where the season starts back up again after the All-Star break, almost a week and a half off for the Lakers, and they take on the Memphis Grizzlies, we're going to start getting a better feel as all these teams start prepping now for the postseason. You know, the games now are magnified. Okay, Memphis on Friday. Then Sunday you got the Boston Celtics. Clippers will take on the Sacramento Kings on Saturday. I do know this. Lakers have an incredible cushion in the Western Conference. That's damn impressive. You know, that win against the Denver Nuggets to close out the win against the Denver Nuggets to close out the All-Star break, you know, leading up to the All-Star break, that's a big win. That was an impressive win for the Lakers. And it was the difference of having a two-game cushion in the West to a four-game cushion. Now having a five-game lead in the loss column. So both teams got a lot to prove. I'm not here to sit here and tell you that the West is running through the Lakers, but I'm also not here to tell you that it's going to run through the Clippers. That roster is not guaranteed to work. Those personalities are not guaranteed to work. Nothing is guaranteed what they've built out over there. With the Lakers, you got some continuity, you got some chemistry, but there's also a ton of players that got to step up and play better in the second half of the season. You know, I look at that game against Denver, and I think what's fascinating to me, what I feel like is interesting, in the final couple minutes against the Denver Nuggets a week ago today, the Lakers closed out the game. Dwight Howard was at center. Anthony Davis was at the four. LeBron James played the three. KCP and Alex Caruso handled the guards position. Now, the reason why I point that out is I think it raises a lot of questions with that lineup. Caruso was outstanding. I think it was a plus 22, plus 23. And that was just in 22 minutes of play. And the Lakers only won by, I think, four in overtime. So that's insane to have that much of a plus. Dwight Howard was fantastic. He was plus minus in double digits. KCP had four steals, and he had some key plays for the Lakers in getting that win. I mention this because I think it's fair to ask this question. What's the best five to close out games for the Los Angeles Lakers? We've seen enough. I mean, we've seen a lot of, obviously, Lakers basketball in these 53 games to have a good idea of what these players are and what they do. But I think it's a fair question. I'm not telling you I have an answer to that. What I'm saying is, should Alex Caruso be in games to end the game? Does KCP deserve those big-time minutes at the end of a game? Has Kuzma not proved enough to where you can't say, okay, well, Kuzma's got to be a lock to end these games, or Kuzma can very well be on the bench as much as he can be in the game? And I think you could kind of rattle off a number of these players and propose that question. So for tomorrow's show on the Sliwa show, that's a question I want to propose to Lakers to Laker fans. And I'll definitely have my five of how I feel like these games should end for the Los Angeles Lakers. And then I always also want to ask Laker fans, get their opinions and their thoughts as well. So we're going to do that in tomorrow's show. We got a lot going on in tomorrow's show, by the way, as well. We'll get a lot of NBA games are back. We'll start previewing the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies and look at the second half of the season. A couple quick thank yous here. Thank you to Curtis. Thank you to Jesse. I know all the listeners and the callers that called into the show, we always appreciate when you guys are a part of the broadcast. That's, in my opinion, my favorite part of doing the show, is getting a chance to take callers and get your guys' thoughts and opinions. But we'll get back at it tomorrow. Make sure to tune in the morning with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. They'll get you all local again starting at 6 a.m. Sedano after that, Will Kane, Mason Island, and then the Sliwa show will follow at 6:30. LA, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in.